Well, hello there, Ledge Rock friends, family, and fans of Jesus scattered all across this great nation. Good morning to all of you. Happy Sunday, happy Resurrection Celebration Day when believers, born-again followers of Jesus, get together all over the world and celebrate the victory that we have in Jesus. Good to be seen by all of you out there. I'm glad that you're taking time out of your day, out of your schedule, to join us as we go through God's Word here at Ledge Rock Community Church in beautiful Ely, Minnesota. And speaking of beautiful Ely, Minnesota, wow, the rumors and everything are absolutely true. The ice does melt. It does go out. The snow melts and leaves, and there is open water and beauty all around us here in Ely. It's been gorgeous this last week, absolutely gorgeous, and was able to put a canoe in the water on Friday and paddle around. So praise Jesus for small victories and small things. That was so fun and so amazing. In fact, I'm going to preach quick today because there's a chance I'm hoping to get one of my solo canoes and go out and splash around a little bit with that maybe this afternoon. So life is good. As difficult as it is to be in this situation that all of us find ourselves in, never forget that you're not alone, that we are here with you, but more importantly, that you have a God that is with you, and that we will get through this thing together, and that you, your leadership and I are constantly prayerfully considering how best to show our love and connect with you guys and help you connect with each other. So just know that this is a temporary thing, and I believe the Lord is using it to grow us and mature us, to develop us to be more like Him through challenges such as this pandemic that we're facing. So keep your head up, stay close to the Lord, stay close to each other. I want to encourage you guys to reach out. Anybody that the Lord lays on your heart, reach out to them, give them a phone call. It's neat to hear the stories of how you guys have encouraged each other. And a lot of you, by the way, have really encouraged me. So thank you for that. And the point is, keep it up. Stay connected. By the way, last week, the slow issues, the draggy connection or whatever, was not anything to do with us or our internet. It was a Facebook issue that was nationwide. And so we've made a few changes in the setting of our camera equipment so that we can hopefully have as high a speed as possible. Know that we are addressing those sorts of issues the best we possibly can. And if you would experience that on your end, go ahead and hit pause and stop the live feed for a short time, 20, 30 seconds or a minute, and then go ahead, restart it. And it should help with that issue. But either way, thank you for your patience. We're sorry about what happened last week. And if you were not able to watch or hear the message in a smooth manner, I really encourage you to go back and listen to it again, because it's definitely setting the stage for, well, today's message and the next couple of messages. We're looking at a sermon series about a recipe book, recipe for different things, recipe for remembering, a recipe for results, that sort of thing. But as far as how I'm doing and how this week has went, it was a huge week, a very big week. We bought my parents' Dodge Journey from Illinois, and our oldest daughter, Emily, drove it up for us. And then my mother-in-law came, and they took our oldest son, Gabe, back down to Illinois to help Grandpa with planting. So big week, lots going on. But also, if you can see, well, here I got my Minnesota state ID in the mail. So I'm going to cover up the picture. It's not very good, but anyway, I'm officially a Minnesota resident, which also means I have a resident fishing license. So ready for the opener, ready to go out there and do some fishing. So if you're watching and you are a fisher person, I will freely offer up my services to go with you to pray for and bless your boat and your fishing equipment and your whole entire fishing season. And I believe that if you take your pastor fishing, you will experience a bounty of fish like you have never, ever experienced before. So I want to challenge and encourage you to put these words to the test and invite your pastor to go fishing. And let's go out there and rip some lips and see what happens together. I am very much ready for some fish fries at the Ebert House. So please consider that as you look forward at your calendar and how you're going to use the beautiful spring weather that we have to its fullest. So anyhow, lots going on in our lives, lots of ups and downs and roller coasters, but you know what? God is good. So let's go ahead and get into today's message. Again, going off of last week's message, which was a recipe for results. So let's say that you have worked hard. You have taken some great strides and steps at getting healthier. You have made some changes in your life and you've done something to lose some weight, to get more active, to be healthier. And you've seen some results come from that. Maybe you've quit something that is harming you, whether it's emotionally, mentally, or physically. Maybe you've taken some steps and you've gotten healthier. You've quit that addiction, whatever. And so now comes the major difficulty. You've seen results come. You've lost weight. You're doing well. And now comes the greatest challenge of all. And that's to see those results remain. You don't want to then gain weight back after you've lost weight and worked so hard and done so well and all of that. You want to see those results remain. That's a challenge for all of us. It's one thing to take steps and see those results. It's quite another to help those results and ensure that those results remain for an extended period of time. And that's true physically with our physical bodies, which is very important, very, very important to living a healthy lifestyle. But it's exactly true in the same spiritually. What if you and I have wavered and wandered a little bit spiritually, and we finally do what we learned last week, and we get close to God, we rejoice in the Lord, we live in a gracious and considerate manner. We don't worry about things, but instead, through prayer and petition, we bring those requests to God, and then the God of peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that comes from God that's beyond our recognition, then falls upon our life, and we're experiencing that in our lives. What about then? What do we do to keep those results remaining in our lives? And so that's what we're going to look at today, and we're going to just continue on after the scripture we left off last week. So today we're in Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to simply look at two verses, verses 8 and 9. So if you have a copy of God's Word, go ahead and find that, turn there, find Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. And today we're going to look at a recipe for results that remain. Now, real quickly, the book of Philippians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi. And basically, this letter was a thank you letter as Paul rejoiced at the news he had heard about the work God had been doing in the body of believers there in Philippi. And Paul celebrated all that God had been doing, but especially their support for him, ongoing financial as well as physical support for him through his difficult times, through his imprisonment and his missionary journeys. So I love the book of Philippians. It's a very happy book. It's a lot of rejoicing going on, a lot of good theology. So I encourage you to read the whole thing. It only takes about 15 or 20 minutes. And boy, it'll just really open up your eyes. But anyway, we're in the book of Philippians 4, again, verses 8 through 9. So allow me to read God's word to you. And Paul says, he begins with the word finally. He's wrapping up this letter. He's wrapping up all of his thoughts and everything he's been through over the course of this letter, and he's kind of leaving them and us with this thought. So the scripture begins, and it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." Let's pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and joyful to come into your presence this morning, to gather together as the church, the body of believers here in Ely and all across the country. And Lord, I pray that you will be here amongst us, that you will fill this place, my office, each home of everyone that is watching all around. Lord, I pray that you will begin to prepare us to hear your word and your voice, that you will begin to do a great and mighty work in us. And so, Lord, I thank you for this message and the words that you've given me, and I pray that you will boldly and clearly speak them through me this day for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the point to today's message is that every born-again believer can follow a simple recipe and see results remain in your lives and spiritually. So the first ingredient in today's recipe for results that will remain is spelled out in verse 8, and it's simply to meditate. What are you going to meditate on? And verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there is moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell or meditate on these things." So what a time we're living in. I mean, uncharted territory. No one alive today has ever lived through such a thing as what we're seeing right now with this COVID pandemic, global outbreak of the coronavirus. It's crazy. If ever before, we certainly find ourselves living in uncertain times. And honestly, fear is running rampant across this country. Fear is everywhere. And maybe you're watching today and you are being run or governed by fear. Fear of catching this virus, or fear of what it may do, or fear of death itself. The point is, we're living in uncertain times. Fear and anxiety, even anger. It's been shocking. One of the saddest things to witness through this time is the amount of anger out there right here in Ely among folks that disagree with others about whatever, not taking it serious enough or taking it too serious. The point is, we're living in days of fear and anxiety and anger. We're living in times of confusion and distrust and negativity. We're living in times of even depression, as people are worried about the future and wondering, what's this going to look like when it ever ends? Will it end? And what's going to happen to me? And so it's easy right now for our hearts to be broken. It's easy for our minds to wander during this time. And you've heard me talk over and over, week after week, about the value that God has placed on our hearts and how our hearts and minds are so connected. King David spoke in Psalm 139. It's just beautiful. But as he wraps up that psalm, David cries out and he says, "Search me, Lord, search my heart and my mind, and see if there is anything impure in me, and cleanse me and use me for your kingdom. Prepare me to be who you want me to be." He cries for God to search his innermost beings, his mind and his heart. And Jesus taught the value of our mind. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, I've talked about this quite a bit, but just an incredible sermon, incredible speaking by our Lord Jesus. And he showed the religious people of the day followers from all across the land, and then us today, the value of our minds. In fact, Jesus taught us that to simply think about sin, then we're guilty of committing that sin, having only done it in our minds. The point is, our hearts and our minds are precious and valuable to the Lord, and they're instrumental in our lives here on this earth. Where your heart goes, your mind then will also go, and very much where your mind goes, there your heart goes as well. And all around us, it seems like on an increasingly exponential rate, all around us is negativity. I mean, before the pandemic hit, we're surrounded in negativity here in our land. And especially today, it seems like no one has ever done anything right. And so it's common, it seems good and normal for you and I to sometimes act that way as well, to agree with this negativity and pessimism. It seems like it's good and normal to agree with the anger for whatever side we're on or whatever. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, you and I, we can't fall into that trap. We can't be guilty of thinking and especially speaking in that way, especially during a time like this, when people are searching for hope and searching for faith and peace and comfort. You and I have to be very careful, especially careful, to guard our hearts, to guard our minds, to guard what we take in, because that then very much affects us. It affects all of who we are, especially on a spiritual level. What we take in affects how we think. That affects how we act, which then affects our relationships with each other. And I've seen it. I've seen it lately. I've seen what the stress and anxiety and fear does to us, to each other, and how it affects every area of our life. Again, our relationship with each other, but even more importantly, our relationship with the Lord. Jesus knew that. He knew that truth, and that's why he warned us about our minds and what we think on, what we dwell on. And the Apostle Paul knew that very clearly as well. And that's why he wrote this passage. That's why the Spirit directed the Apostle Paul to write these words to us today, because they were so true back then, and they're especially and just as true here today. And the scripture says, Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, you and I are to think and dwell and meditate on whatever things are true. Now, truth is very valuable. It seems like we live in a day when it's hard to find truth. And so let me just cut through all the confusion and let you know that truth comes from the Lord himself. Truth is found in God. God is the author. He is the source of truth. In fact, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one can go to the Father except through him. So as you're going through your life today, Paul says, God's word says to dwell and meditate on the truth. And so when you're searching for that, simply turn to God and his truth, and let that truth set you free from the false truths and the half-truths and the mistruths that are all around us here today. It says, whatever is honorable. Honorable is respect. Whatever is worthy of respect. Whatever is worthy of awe and adoration. And let me share a heartbreak that I've seen here today, or I've seen and I'll share it with you here today. These sorts of things are so missing today. We don't do a lot of like regular television and the news and all those things. It's just not something that we get our news in different ways. But as I've traveled around and turned on the television, it is absolutely shocking how overwhelmingly negative the news can be. Whatever side you're on, or whatever you may think, it seems like your choice of news, whatever end of that spectrum or whatever, is just encouraging hatred. It's encouraging distrust. And if you don't just simply get so mad at the other side or whatever, then you're not American or whatever. And it seems like all things that are honorable have been lost. We don't give people the benefit of the doubt or any grace or love or mercy or whatever. There's no respect or awe or adoration going on in the country today. It's like the news media has caused us to be very divided, 50-50, split down the middle or whatever. And it's a shame. It breaks my heart to see the lack of unity in the country instead of pulling together and working for the greater good of the country. We're looking at the other side as absolutely the enemy. And that's as far as I'm going to go. The point is, it's easy today to not dwell on things that are honorable, that are worthy of respect and awe. And let me challenge you, brothers and sisters, as citizens of the coming kingdom of Jesus, you and I are called to a higher standard. We don't have the luxury. So you and I, what are we going to fill our minds with? What if we filled with truth and things that are honorable? The next thing is if there's anything or whatever is just. And just is defined as what's right. And I could go down a whole message on justice and God's justice and whatever sinners have earned is just by a perfect and holy God. To simplify it, is justice is simply right. It's whatever is in harmony with God's divine standard. It's whatever is in harmony with God's kindness and his correctness. You and I are to dwell and meditate on things that are holy and just and right. And the next one is whatever is pure, morally clean and unstained. If we've ever lived in a day of impurity, it's now. I hear that during this shelter in place, stay at home situation that most of the country is still in, that addictions have risen at a huge and alarming rate. And people are talking about the church being ready, needing to be ready to help minister to folks that have come out of this isolation with new addictions. And you can only imagine what's available, what might be happening behind closed doors as people are staying at home and whatever. The point is, you and I need to think about whatever is pure, things that are lovely, things that are holy. As people around us, this lost world that's searching for answers and hope or so desperately looking for truth and reality, we need to model and exhibit these sorts of things, honorable and pure. The next one is whatever is lovely. I love this. I love this. I've got one of my children in particular just can be very prone to jumping up and down and giggling at the simplest things and just spinning and twirling around and celebrating life and just simple things like a beautiful flower or a new pretty dress. And it warms my heart to see her dwell on things that are lovely. And what about you and I? What if we dwelled and meditated on things that are lovely, that are pleasing and amiable, that are kind and gracious? Do you think the Lord could work in our lives in an even greater way as we meditated on things that were lovely rather than how terrible other people are all around us? The next one is whatever is commendable. The definition is highly regarded, thought well of, generally reputable and respectable. Again, this world that we're living in today, it seems like that's sorely lacking, that it's hard to find sources of things that are commendable or highly regarded. It seems like that's absent today, and we feel like the rest of everybody is so missing those things that we then suddenly miss it ourselves. Think about, dwell on, meditate on things that are commendable, highly regarded, thought well of. And I'm talking spiritually, but also physically and personally, generally reputable and respectable. And then Paul continues and he says, if there is any moral excellence and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. And those words, if there is any, and if there is anything, he says it a couple of times. That's classic Pauline writing. What Paul means is because. In other words, because there are praiseworthy things, and because there is moral excellence all around us, dwell on those things. Paul speaks this way over and over, and he's challenging the people to think through the lack of and look at the reality of through Jesus and through the lens of the gospel, the good news of Christ. And so he's saying, because of the moral excellence and because of the things that are praiseworthy, dwell on, meditate on those things. I believe, friends and family, I believe that the enemy, that Satan, has slowly eroded these truths in our lives over time. He's slowly crept in and worked, and he's had his way with us in the church. Of course, the world at large, but even us within the church, born-again believers, he's worked and eroded and had his way with us far too long. And that you and I, sometimes we've been guilty of looking and sounding and acting like the rest of the world. Stop. Stop. Don't live that way anymore. Don't think that way anymore. Don't act that way anymore. We don't have that luxury. We cannot allow the enemy to win those victories in our lives anymore. The recipe for results that will remain in our lives is to meditate. Meditate on these things over and over. I'm going to read 8 and then 9 again. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, because there is moral excellence all around us and because there are things that are praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Meditate on these things. And then verse 9, do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The second ingredient that you and I have to put into this recipe to have results that remain is to imitate. To imitate somebody or something that the scriptures are going to explain for us. The first one may be hard. To meditate on things that are good when we're surrounded by negativity, that may be tough. That may be hard, but I think the second one possibly is even harder. To imitate godly people, godly leaders, when true godly role models are rare all around us. So I guess the next question is, can you imitate me? Should you imitate your pastor? And let me just, in one simple word, say no. Don't imitate me, at least not today, at least not right now. Or maybe then if I could explain it even further, well, maybe yes, kind of yes, sometimes yes, absolutely. And then no, and then yes, and then, well, I don't know. The point is that living life here in the flesh right now is difficult and challenging. And so maybe tomorrow you can model your life after me. Maybe tomorrow, because I am perpetually growing and maturing in my faith, I am being sanctified. once and for all, set apart by God for doing His work, and I am perpetually being sanctified, constantly growing and becoming more and more like Jesus. And so maybe yesterday you shouldn't have modeled your life after me. Maybe today, I don't know, but maybe tomorrow you can. The point is that we are all growing and moving and maturing always. And one thing you have to know about me is that I absolutely make mistakes. I am not immune to that. In fact, my family may say, boy, does he ever make mistakes. But I want you to know that I try, I work hard at learning from my mistakes, and I try to not ever repeat them. Or if I do, they're not as big of a mistake as before, and slowly over time, less and less mistakes. The point is, I'm teachable. And I'm learning always. And so with love and grace and mercy, we can grow together. And you know what? Maybe tomorrow you can follow after me. The point is, brothers and sisters, we have to know and be aware constantly that as Christians, we have a bullseye on our back. And you know what? That's okay. That's all right. People are watching us. You've got neighbors. They know you go to Ledge Rock and they're watching you. And they're watching how you handle situations. What is it that you talk about when you talk with them? What sorts of things are coming out of your mouth, which is the overflow of your heart? People are watching you and they want you to stumble and fail. Never forget that we've got bullseyes on our backs and people are watching. But even more importantly, as we learned over the last months, we're never alone. That we have a God that is everywhere at all times, and He is always watching as well. What if we lived like we knew someone, especially the God of the universe, was watching us? What if we reacted to each other that way? We have a bullseye, and that's okay, because it is absolutely, absolutely necessary. And here Paul writes these words. These words have changed my life. They've made such an impact on me that the Apostle Paul could say, "Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me." Paul's saying, "Follow after me. Model your lives after me." Paul says, "Look to me and follow my example." And so really the question then that you have to ask is, can you say that? Can you say to your kids, follow after me, speak like me, act like me, think like me, do as I do, and you are going to be okay? Can you say that to your spouse, to your kids, to your neighbors? Can you say, follow after me, and I am going to lead you directly to Jesus? Because here's what was going on. Paul, in all of his mistakes and all of his sin that he had lived and that changed his life, that conviction, all of his problems, Paul was following Jesus. Paul was following after and imitating Jesus, and only Jesus is worthy of modeling our lives after. Only Jesus, only the King of Kings. To be a disciple, Jesus said, go out and make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone that follows after the teacher. And in this case, that teacher or rabbi is Jesus. A disciple is someone that follows and models their lives after their teacher. And in our case, that teacher is Jesus. You and I are called to follow and model our lives after Him. We are called to live that way, to be Jesus everywhere we go, to think like Him, to act like Him, to be Him, so that others, lost people, will see Him. They will see Him and hear Him in us, in you, and then want Him because of what He's done in your life. In our lives, to see Him and want Him, to want what He has done for us, in us, and through us. We are to be the very presence of Jesus on this earth, and it happens by meditating on things that are holy and pure and imitating Jesus, imitating after Him. And then what happens if we do those things, if we follow this recipe for these results, what happens in our lives if we do what you've learned and seen and heard in Jesus because of what he did through the Apostle Paul? It says, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Many of you, in fact, some have reached out to me, and my heart breaks for you because many of you watching here today, listening online, wherever you may be, many of you have an absence of peace in your life right now. You're living and struggling through the day to day, wondering what is the meaning to life, and peace is missing and joy is missing. Let me tell you, there's hope. There is hope in the promise that's contained in God's scripture. The Bible has answers for us, and right here is a recipe for results that will remain. It will remain forever as long as we do this, do these things, meditate on things that are good and lovely and pure and honorable, and then imitate and follow after Jesus. You and I, we have a choice to make. Always there are choices. We have a choice laid before us. We have a decision to make. What are you going to put into your mind? What are you going to allow into your life? What voice are you going to listen to? And let me tell you, let me challenge you, let me encourage you. Make those things pure. Make those things truth, God's truth. Dwell and meditate. Spend more time with God than you do with your television or your Facebook or each other. Allow God and the truth of Jesus and the victory that we have through Him, His life, His death on the cross, His resurrection, allow those areas to penetrate your life, to change your mind, to change your heart, to change your very being. Become new in Christ. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that is greater and more glorious than anything that you and I could ever even fathom, that peace of God and the God of peace will be with us now and forever and ever and ever. And He will never let us down. He will never forsake us. If you're watching and listening and hungry for peace in your life, try this recipe. Try this godly, biblical recipe of meditating and imitating, and watch what happens in your life and watch what happens in your family as they suddenly start to see and hear and experience Jesus in you and through you. If you want something different in your life, if you want answers to your questions, if you want solutions to your problems, meditate on Jesus. Imitate Jesus. Follow after Him, and you will have peace that will never, ever fade away, that will never go away. We have a choice before us. What are we going to do? What are we going to listen to? Who are we going to follow? As for me, I have decided to follow Jesus. Will you join me? Let's pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth in your word and for the reality of who you are and what you can and will do in us. And so, Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful that you don't simply leave us alone to wander through this life, but that you have given us truth and reality that is contained in your word to us. And I pray that as we have time now more than ever, as we're at home and less active, that we spend more and more time with you. And Father, I pray that you will work in each of our hearts and our lives, change us and mold us, sanctify us, make us more and more like you, and set us apart for your good work that others can see your glory in us and through us. Father, forgive us. Forgive me for my sins and my weakness and my failure. And Lord, I pray that you will forgive all of our sins and cleanse us. Wash us new and keep the enemy far away. Help us to claim the truth and the victory that we have in and through Jesus. And may you be so glorified in our lives that others want you and that you are continually moving and growing your kingdom here and all over the world. So Father, thank you for the time we can spend together. May we not eat lunch today. May we not forget what we have heard and learned. May we actually put it into practice. Again, Lord, for your glory, for your exaltation, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, thank you again for taking time joining us. I hope the connection was better today. I hope that it was seamless and smooth. If it wasn't, our apologies. I really encourage you to go back and rewatch it smooth, all in one. I pray that the Lord spoke to you today. He sure did to me. I am as guilty of letting bad things in and letting my mind dwell on negativity. I'm as guilty as anybody, but I strive to be more and more like the Lord, and that's all we can do while we're here. So either way, I hope the Lord spoke a word to you. Stay on, connect, communicate for a while. I'm sure you already have been. Say amen, whatever you agree with. It really encourages me to read the comments after the fact. So thank you for doing that. Thank you in advance. Don't forget about the Young Life Sweet Spring Auction. It ends today between 2 and 6 o'clock. Different items end at different times. So thank you for your bidding and for supporting our Ely Young Life group. So thank you. Hopefully you can get out and enjoy the nice weather and enjoy the beautiful creation. Either way, love you. Thank you. Take care. Miss you guys tremendously. Stay connected. Reach out and God bless.